Good morning. Good to see everybody here and the snow gently falling. Glad you all made it in safely, and hopefully we don't get too much, right? But welcome. It is a beautiful day, and certainly it didn't get as cold last night as what I heard it was going to be anyway, so we thank God for that. Just a few announcements here that we'll go over. There is an offering plate in back. It'll be yet today, and that is if you want to help give towards the expense of the Christmas sacks that are given out on Christmas Eve. That's what that's about. Tomorrow, the women of the church and the 4O's ladies will have their Christmas party at 1 o'clock. So if you are planning to attend, well, certainly you're all welcome. If you're planning to attend and did not sign up yet, if you could do that. It'll be 1 o'clock here in the social hall. Anything else? Oh, there's a. If you'd like to bring a gift for a person, a resident, a patient at the Human Services Center in Yankton, usually we do that. There's a list of suggested items on the bulletin board. And it's on the tub. There's a tub out in the social hall. Okay, all right. Christmas Day, well, you see the offerings, the service times. I just want to call attention to the Christmas Day service. And the offering is going to the care center. We certainly, the community has responded very well with two big fundraising campaigns that we've had. And we're making great progress. But we wanted to give that offering on Christmas Day, designate to the debt reduction at our care center. So just be mindful of that as you're praying about what you might give on that day. This afternoon at 2 o'clock, I have care center service, and this is always the time when the high school youth come along and help, but you are certainly all welcome to attend. We're going to be having church in the dining room today because of the large group of high schoolers that we have right now in the church, and they are going to sing a special that they've been working on down there, and they'll be helping me with the service. I want to say thanks to all for the beautiful poinsettias. Throughout the front here, it just brightens it all up. So thank you for sharing those and flowers in remembrance of loved ones. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we worship you. We come to you with awe of you, your greatness, your majesty, your power. You are sovereign over all. And we do stand in awe of you as we worship you this day in spirit and in truth. As we listen to the words of that last song played, Mary, did you know? Certainly she could not have known all, did you know, that your baby boy would heal, open the eyes of the blind, and heal the lame, and all the miracles. But Father, it was your plan, and we get to live in the blessings of it. The blessings of Christ, for it is in you, Jesus, that we live and move and have our being each and every day. And so I thank you for another chance where we get to gather in as brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, as families, as grandparents, as parents, with the little ones, as individuals. We're all here, Father, because we love you, and we thank you for the little ones that you have blessed us with incredibly. So many young families, we're truly grateful for that. So Father, we ask as always that you would move among us by the power of your Spirit in this sanctuary. Fill this place with your goodness and your glory this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Justin and Luke Pluster are going to be our Advent readers today.
We gather around the Advent wreath today, knowing that we are not perfect, knowing that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus is the light of the world, and he shines in this dark world, showing us the way to the Father, showing us the way to heaven. Our scripture reading today will be from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." As we light this third Advent candle, we proclaim the coming of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Through the coming of this light, we can find peace with God. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. He is also called Emmanuel, which means God with us. The presence of Christ with us gives us his peace in our hearts and minds every day. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, We thank you for Jesus, for it is in Christ alone that we can find and have true peace. We pray that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, would continue to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus through this Advent season. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Justin and Luke, and thanks, Cheryl, for the beautiful prelude music, too. Our first hymn will be, O Come, Emmanuel. Let's stand together, please. Take a moment, greet those around you before you're seated. Joys and concerns, and I think since we got our singing voices warmed up, I'm gonna ask you to sing something else here, because this coming Tuesday will be Eugene Weidenbach's 99th birthday, and they are here today. So would you stand up, Eugene, so we can sing happy birthday to you, I suppose? All right. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Eugene, happy birthday to you. God bless you, Eugene. Amen. And if you don't know, he is one of our World War II veterans. And not too many of them left, so praise the Lord. And keep him in your prayers. He's got a surgery this coming Thursday for some skin cancer on his ear there. So we'll be praying for both of you. Other things, congratulations. I should have said this last Sunday, but I missed it. But the oral interp group, one of them anyway, got a superior rating a week ago, and Hillary Wade is in that, and Carly Herbolt and Salome Carr, right? So, yeah, congratulations to them for sure. Prayers for Elmer Zabe. He's been in the Freeman Hospital since Monday, actually. There's an infection going and have not made a lot of progress there, so just continue to lift him up in your prayers. Also for Pat Palmerville, she was supposed to have a sinus surgery this last Friday and went in for that, and her heart had gone into AFib, so that stopped the surgery, and she was in intensive care Friday, Saturday, was supposed to come home last night, as far as I know. Okay. All right. So hopefully that just lift, be, you know, Lee and Pat always just sit right in here. So be lifting them up. Pat or Lee has a pretty serious heart condition with the doctor's prognosis of 6 months to live. So be praying for them. Louis Fierst down in the Majestic Bluffs, he's been on hospice care, and things were not well there yesterday either at all. So I'll be praying for Louie and Judy. So lots to pray about. I got just a couple other things here. Milo Houck is having a procedure on Tuesday. Okay, so I'll be praying for him. Prayers for Linda. Oh, you are here, Linda. Good. I didn't see you. I was going to say prayers for Linda. She hasn't been feeling well, so, but we're glad she's doing better. Also, I was told that John Schneider, and I don't remember his parents' name.
Don and Verlaine.
Verlaine, okay. John would be like 2 years under me, I think. And so he has been diagnosed with prostate cancer. So it's pretty young for that. Be praying for him. Lastly, Dolores Bender had her 90th birthday this last Wednesday. So I know I should have said that a week ago and I missed it, but still not too late to send a card if you think about it. There's a hand way up in the back there, and I got to even see who that is. Aiden? It was. Heidi Omer's birthday was this last Friday. All right. Happy birthday to Heidi. Emmeline. This coming Thursday is Robert Heckenleibel's birthday. Happy birthday to you. Michelle. Addison. Say that again. And so is Uncle Glenn. Addison Friesen and Glenn Kirschman have birthdays today. Happy birthday to you. Okay. Zoe? This Wednesday is Ron and Marina Schaefer's 15th wedding anniversary. Happy birthday to you guys. Yes, Joanne. Okay. Okay. Jai Walter and Heidi Walter had birthdays yesterday. It was Jai's 50th. And I'm not sure about Heidi, but anyway, and Jesse's birthday is this coming Thursday. Jesse Gehring. Did you have your hand? Joanna. Okay, Joanna Fergan has a birthday this tomorrow. Happy birthday, Joanna. Okay, oh, Taylor. And today is Mary Hondel's birthday. Where are you? Ah, you're hiding. Happy birthday, Mary. Great. Thank you, Taylor. Get over here. Okay, good to have. I've got to mention Calvin. He had two stents put in this last Tuesday at the Heart Hospital and came home the next evening, and his daughter Karen is with him today. So
he said he's good for another 100 years.
There you go. Good for another 100 years. I told him he's probably going to feel like a new man after getting those two blockages opened up. So, amen. Calvin's 91. 91. Okay. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time as always. And Lord, so many birthdays here today and tomorrow and this week to come and in this past week. And we just thank you for each and every one of them. They are just valuable and precious to all of us as a part of this local church. Thank you for Calvin, Lord, sort of a scary day on Monday, certainly, that ended him up at the Heart Hospital. And we thank you that they were able to do those two stents and get him back going again, Lord. We lift up several here, Father. Elmer Zabe there at the Freeman Hospital, Louis Fierst down at Yankton, and Pat Palmerville, who I think back home, but Lord, certainly struggles that these have had going on. They are all your children, Lord, and I know in your time, as far as for Elmer and Louie, for all of us, as far as that goes, you are the one who numbers our days. Help us to live every day ready, as if this were our last, ready to meet you and see all the glory of heaven. But thank you for being with these individuals and their families, Lord, during this time especially. We pray for Milo Hauk, because he's got this procedure coming on Tuesday. Lord, we ask that you go before him. We pray that this could be successful for what it pertains to. For Eugene Weidenbach and his surgery on Thursday as well, help that to go according to your will and your plan. We thank you for watching over these individuals. We pray for John Schneider somewhere, I don't know where he's at, in New Mexico or California, but you know where he's at. And we just lift him up to you, and we pray for wisdom to the doctors as they determine what the right steps are. For Devin Bent's mom, thank you for the improvements she's been making. Diane is her name, and we give you all the praise for that, and thank you. For many more, Lord, there's many names here listed in the progress of chemotherapy and various stages of the cancer battle and other issues going on with other names. We lift them all before your throne. Thank you, Lord, for our troops as well. Many names listed in our bulletin who are very dear to all of us, and you know them by name, and we pray your hand of protection upon them as they are serving here at home, as they are serving overseas. Lord, be with their families, those that are separated from their loved ones, and give your angels charge over them. For our nation, Lord, we continue to ask for an outpouring of your Spirit upon us, for a revival to this land, for healing to this nation. Lord God, we ask for your will to be done. We thank you for the freedoms that we do enjoy to gather as we are this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 9. There's a lot of prophetic verses throughout this chapter. I'll read verse 2 and verse 6, speaking about Jesus, 650 years before he was ever born in Bethlehem. It says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And then verse 6, "For unto us a child is born." That's his humanity, right? Babies are born physically. "Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given." That's his deity in that verse, his humanity and deity. "And the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Cindy and Cheryl are going to play a duet here for us while the offering is being received this morning. Thank you. again with such joy and excitement in this season of our year. Jesus, you are, as it was prophesied, our wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we thank you that the government is upon your shoulders, that you are sovereign over all, that as you look upon the nations of the world and things seem to be in chaos here and there, and that you have it all ultimately under control according to your will and plan and timetable for the return of Christ. And so we bring our offerings, knowing that you are Lord of our lives. We bring these offerings and these tithes with joy in our hearts and worship. We worship you with these, the first fruits of our increase today, in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith together now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If the children would come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Good morning, boys and girls. Great to see you. Just, you can sit on the there too if you want. You can sit right there. Wow, there's a whole bunch of you children today. It's wonderful to see you. Well, I brought some things with me today, and I'm just wondering what your favorite thing might be during this Christmas season. Just say. Nerf guns?
Phone.
Phone? So you're all saying presents so far?
Jesus.
Whoopee cushions.
LOLs.
LOLs. Just lots of things, right? Lots of presents I'm hearing.
Lights.
What?
Lights.
There. I like the lights too.
Remote control cars.
Lots of presents, right? One more. Couple more. Go ahead. What do you like about this season?
Snow,
yes. Camera, toys, gifts,
presents.
Birth of Jesus. I know, I'm from McKinley. When he was born, right, Hadley? Jesus' birthday, isn't it? Yeah, it's Jesus' birthday, all right? Ooh, we've got lots, hurry.
Okay.
Food, is that what you said?
Snow.
Trent.
Dirt bikes,
okay, lots of presents. Everybody said presents mostly, so I'll say that too. You know, there are presents at Christmas, and we enjoy those, right? Let's see, this one says it's to Pastor Mike. Wonder what it is. He has to wait. So we have presents. How about decorating the tree? Do you like the ornaments?
Yeah.
Do you like getting in all that stuff? That's all fun, right? How about somebody said the snow? You like snowmen and fun decorations that turn colors? That's just really cool, isn't it? I love those things. How about bells? Do you like to hear the bells and the music when you go places? What does that remind you of? How about when you go to Walmart? Church bells, yep. The Salvation Army. that rings their bells, and then music. Do you like music? I love Christmas music. And of course, somebody already said this, one of the first things. Snow. I love snow. This year, not so much, but next year it'll be better. But you know what? Somebody said this too. My most favorite thing are lights. There are lights, and you can't really see this too much. These are these really little tiny cool lights that are battery operated. You can put them in the tree, and you can put them at decorations and all these things. But do you know what the lights tell us that they remind us of? Listen to what John 1, 6, and 7 says. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. Remember John the Baptist? You older ones will. He came to witness, to testify concerning that light, that through him all might believe. John was not the light. He was not the light. He only came to talk about that light. So who was that light John's talking about?
Jesus.
Who is it?
Jesus.
Who is it?
Jesus.
There we go. Yes. And then Jesus came and said in John 8:12, he said, I am the light. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus, that we say, was the first true light. And what did Jesus come to do? Why did Jesus come? To save us from our sins, right? God loved us so much, it says in John 3:16, that he sent Jesus to come into the world to save us, to heal us, to show us God's love. So many, many things. So the next time when you look at a tree or when you look at lights, remember, the first light that came that we celebrate was Jesus, and he still is, right? He's in us. Now, do we have time for a little song? We're going to sing a little song, this little light of mine, because then when we ask Jesus to come into our lives, he comes into us, and he says, you go let your light shine. So let's sing this. See if we can do it. Oh, sorry, Ad. Okay, here we go. I got it. I don't know if this is the one I wanted either. Light of mine. Father, we thank you so much for these boys and girls who are excited to be here, excited about this season, and especially you, Jesus. You are the reason for this season. We thank you that as we go out this week, all of us, that when we look at lights, we're reminded of you. And we're reminded that you live inside of us through the Holy Spirit, and you want our light to shine to others. Help us to be a blessing and a servant to others this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Papers.
One thing I forgot to mention in the joys and concerns, be praying for JR and Chandra, especially Chandra Van Zyl. She's at the hospital in Yankton, hoping to deliver a baby today. So that might have been what Hadley was trying to tell you there before. As soon as the kids get back seated, then Jay is going to sing a special here for us, a Christmas Hallelujah.
I've heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy, and I just wanna sing this song to you. He came from heaven and came to earth. We celebrate his precious birth with every breath. I'm singing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Couple came to Bethlehem, expecting child. They searched the inn to find a place, for you were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. The shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angels said, you'll find him in a manger bed. Emmanuel, our Savior. A star shone bright up in the east to Bethlehem. The wise men three came many miles and journeyed long for you. And to the place at which you were, their frankincense and gold and myrrh they gave to you. I know you came to rescue me. This baby boy would grow to be a man who one day died for me and you. My sins would drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath
Thank you, Jay and Cheryl, both. It's beautiful. Beautiful song and great words there. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Father, we do say and sing hallelujah. Hallelujah for your great plan of redemption. As your word tells us, even before the foundation of the world, Jesus was declared to be the Lamb slain. You knew it before you created the earth, the heavens, the world, the sea, and all that is therein. You knew the plan. And what an amazing plan it is as we get to live it out during our years on this planet. And as we'll get to watch from heaven as it unfolds when we get there. We thank you for your word, the living word of God that does speak to us and guides us through our lives on this earth. That tells us of you, Jesus, and why you came and lived and died and rose. And so we do celebrate you for all that you are, Jesus, our living word. Lord, I ask you to speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here today. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. These first 14 verses, this is what we're working on this Advent season. Christmas from the Gospel of John. We know Luke and Matthew. Matthew and Luke both give us more of the historical information, the birth, the angels, the shepherds, the wise men, and all of that. And John is more from a theological perspective here. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. So just a little review here. We'll get into where we're at today on this. We're looking at from John. So who is this child? We sing, what child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? John tells us who this is by the Spirit of God. First, we looked in the first two verses, he's the eternal one. He has always been. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, he was with God in the beginning. The eternal one. Verse 14, real quick, it says, that tells us the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You know that word dwelling is the same word that we see for the word tabernacle. In the Old Testament, first they had the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant was and the manifested presence of God was. And then it came to where they built the temple. Solomon built the temple, and still the Ark of the Covenant was there behind that place, the Holy of Holies. And the manifested presence, the Shekinah glory of God was there. And isn't it interesting when we come here to Jesus, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling, or we could say, tabernacled among us. So why had the glory of God departed from the temple in Jerusalem, the Holy of Holies there? Well, for many reasons, but one, because the glory of God was walking around in a human body. The literal presence of God, God himself walking around. He didn't need to be in an ark, the Ark of the Covenant. He was the presence of God on the earth. So the Eternal One. Second, then we jumped ahead to verse 10 and 11. I told you because we had communion, so I wanted to come to those verses. He is the rejected one. We read about that. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. King James says they did not know him. They didn't know him intimately, personally. We can know a lot about people, especially famous people. We can know all kinds of information about them, where they were born, where they went to school, sports figures, where they played their college basketball, when they came into the professional realm of it all. Doesn't mean we know them. And so, Jesus, the world did not know him. There's blessings of knowing him intimately. I was talking with a man just this week who, from our church, I'll just say it that way, has just had a tough month or two with things going on physically. And he was sharing that he had just, because of all this going on, he hadn't been in the scriptures as he normally is. And you know what happens then? The tank gets empty. We run out of steam spiritually. And he was saying just the other day that before I talked to him, he said, I took my Bible out and I said, Lord, I can't quote exactly. So I'm out of energy. I'm out of oomph here. I'm depleted spiritually. I need you to fill me up. And he took out the word and started reading, and just that fast, whoosh, he was refreshed. And that's how God does it. He does it. Third point, Jesus is the saving one. We looked at that last week. Yet to all who received him, verse 12, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, to be born again. Not talking about physical birth, but spiritual birth. And so number four today, we're going to go back to verse 4 in this passage. Jesus is the revealed one. The revealed one, verse 4. In him, Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of men, the light that shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. That life in Jesus was life. That word life is, in the Greek, is Zoe. We have girls that are named Zoe nowadays. Zoe Schaefer. Arlen has a granddaughter named Zoe. Siler, right? Corey's little girl, and I'm sure there's others. That word Zoe literally means the life of God. In him, Jesus was life. Wow. All life flows through him. To all of his creation, to all of us, it is. God manifested in the flesh. And if you're doing your outline, letter A, so this life, the life of God, as we see in Jesus, brings healing, brings deliverance. It brings miracles. It does. I just happened to be looking through two chapters of Matthew's gospel this week, number 8 and number 9. And there's 5 major miracles in chapter 8. 5 major miracles in chapter 9. What do you see? You just see the life of God pouring out of him. In him was life, life, life. And that's what the life of God does. Then, through Christ, still today. I'll just give you the 5 in chapter 8 real quick. You start in Matthew 8, verse 1. You see this man healed of leprosy. Coming to him, Lord, I know you are able. I know you can heal me if you are willing. That's always the question, right? And he said to him, guess what? I'm willing. Be healed. And he was. You go on the next one. It was the healing of the centurion's servant. Lord, that man knew who Jesus was. He said, you know what? I am not even worthy for you to come into my house. Just speak the word. You just speak the word, and I know my servant will be healed. And he was. Life. Right? Third, he healed Peter's mother-in-law at Capernaum. And then many more came to that house that evening to be healed of their diseases. Fourth, he's in the boat on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. The storm comes up. Jesus is taking a nap. You know what? We heard about this one last Sunday afternoon. We were at a concert down at Yankton of Ernie Haas and Signature Sound. Some of you know them. And I just have to show this t-shirt that they had for sale there. Jesus was taking a nap in the boat, right? So Ernie Hazy, he's 55 now, I think, in the group, and he always teases the group, you know, I am 55, I need a nap every day, and they tease him about that. At 3:30 in the afternoon, he takes his nap. So one of the singers in the group made up a t-shirt that they sell. This is not mine, I borrowed it from somebody. It says, Jesus took naps, I want to be like Jesus. I said, yeah, I like that. Mark 4:38. Jesus took naps. I want to be like Jesus. Here you go, Johnny. Thank you. Oh, the life of God. And then you go on in there, and he delivers the demoniac, the Gadarene demoniac. It's just the life of God. So 5 in chapter 8, miracles. 5 in chapter 9. I won't go into those. What else would we expect? I read a commentary that said in John's gospel, Jesus speaks about life, this life, Zoe, 54 times. Wow. 54 times. We could think of some. Okay, here's fill in the blank for you, so be ready with the word life, okay? Give it to me when we get there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the
life.
Well, that's pretty good. You were all there. All right, how about John 10:10? Jesus said, the thief comes only but to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you may have and have it more abundantly, right? And then in John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the
life.
Yes, and that's just three of them there. He is life. Secondly, his life, the verses say, his life is the light of men. Look at verse 4 again. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Oh, think about that, just that phrase there. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That, I don't know about you, maybe you just read through it and like, oh, okay. For me, it's like, how do you sort of wrap your head around that? In him was life, and that life was the light of men. There's much in that phrase. He's both. He is life and he is light. John 6:35 is when he said, I am the bread of life. John 8:12 is when he said, I am the light of the world. He said both about himself. I am life, I am light. And what does his light do? One of the things, as his light shines in our hearts and in our minds, it reveals our condition. Reveals our spiritual condition. Certainly, as Christ's light by the Holy Spirit has shown, hopefully in most all of our lives, we realized, you know what, I am a sinner. And without help, I am headed for a bad place. And his light shines, and we desire him, and we get to know him to as many as received him. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So his light, when his light shined on the Apostle Paul, who was Saul first, and he was going around murdering Christians, what did Paul say? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? What about coming up to 1700, so 300, between 200 and 300 years ago, and John Newton, we talked about him a month ago, wrote the words to our hymn, Amazing Grace. A slave ship owner hauled thousands of slaves from Africa back to Great Britain, England, sold them as animals until he came into that storm one time on the way home and with the ship loaded and thought, there's no way I'm going to live through this one. And he fell on his knees and repented. And God saved him. And what did he write? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's all of us without Jesus. Every single one of us. His light, his life is the light of men. He shines in us first, and then we receive him, and then he shines through us to others. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Third, this light shines in the darkness. Listen to verse 4 and 5 again. In him, Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So that darkness, what is it? It's the world, this world system that we live in. Not the world, the planet itself, but the world system. I always have to be careful. About 2 years ago, and I've told you this, it was at Vacation Bible School, and one of the days, the lesson was about the world, don't love the world, and all that is in it. Talking about the world system, and this little guy, we were in small groups at the end and closing up, and we were to pray, and he said to me, Pastor Mike, I like the world. I said, what do you mean? I like to go hunting with my dad and fishing and the trees and the rivers. That's how his mind took it, and rightly so. I said to him that, I'm glad you said that to me, because yes, we love God's world. This is my Father's world, we sing. But this, we're talking about the world system of whom Satan is the god of, little g, 2 Corinthians 4:4, right? In whom the god of this world has blinded the eyes of those who believe not. But Jesus, being life and light, came to shine in this dark world. We sing it, we sang it last Sunday, light of the world, you stepped down into darkness, opened my eyes, let me see. Now, if you ever have lived in the southern part of our country, the southern states, or a warmer climate, we don't have them much here. Once in a while, thankfully, we don't. The cockroaches, right? The cockroaches. When I was in seminary there at Rhema, Tulsa, suburb of Tulsa, in that student housing, regularly, monthly, they came and sprayed every apartment to keep the cockroaches out. Because otherwise, and I've seen places, certainly when we were in Arizona, and you go into a place and maybe it's dark, they like to go in the dark, don't they? That's where darkness likes to do its activity. That's where Satan likes to do its activity, in the dark. You maybe go in, if they're all doing their business, you turn on the lights and get out of here. That's right. I know, we don't like them. There are blessings to our cold climate in the winter up here, for sure. And that is one of them. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The New Living, I like how it says, the light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Now, we often say to each other on a natural realm, never say never, right? And I imagine we have all been in a place where we have said, I will never. And maybe as the years have gone on, we end up doing that, what we said we would never do. But when God says never, it is never. And we can say never if he said it. The darkness can never extinguish it. And it can't. The darkness, Satan, has tried to put the light out from day one. Day one, all the way back to creation. But coming to the birth of Christ, as soon as Jesus was born, and in that first 2 years and under of his life, when the wise men came, and that's a whole nother deal, but they asked Herod the king, where is this one who is born king of the Jews? And Herod's like, what? I'm king of the Jews. What do you mean? And he was a very, very jealous, crazy king. And you know, after that, he wanted to put all the baby boys in the region of Bethlehem to death. That was Satan behind that, trying to kill him. When Jesus came into his adult life and ministry, how many times they wanted to kill him, the religious leaders. They tried to throw him over the cliff, but he walked right through their midst. One time they picked up stones to stone him. He walked right through the midst. They could not touch him because the darkness can never extinguish the light. John 10:18, Jesus said about his own life, "No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." They could not have crucified him had he not been willing. He has authority. Satan has tried all through the ages, in the last 2,000 years of the church age. He still tries to snuff out the light, tries to destroy the church universal. Church went through the dark ages there. Come in the 1500s, things are so corrupt. But what? God always had a remnant. A remnant of true believers, and he always does today. Even though today we still see churches going off the deep end with a lot of things, denying the virgin birth and craziness like that. But God always has a remnant. And the darkness can never extinguish the light. Not in your family, even though you go through tough times. Sometimes unbelievable times that shake you to your very core. But the darkness cannot extinguish the light of Christ in you, in your family. Not in this church. As we stay true to God's word, and as I was thinking this, I go so often, I know I've read this before, but my thoughts went back to it again. This was from the 100th anniversary here, 1982. And I read this statement. Even though I was not here at the time, but I was here right after because my dad came. And I want to read it to you. Whoever wrote this, yeah, it's incredible. For exactly 1 year, from September 1st, 1977, to September 1st, 1978, the Salem congregation was without a full-time pastor, led mostly by the Holy Spirit and their own faithfulness to the Word of God. They made it through this soul-searching year. Praise the Lord. Was everything perfect? Far from it. And then my dad came on that September 1st, 1978. And we arrived the night before school started, literally the night before. Mark and I starting our junior year of high school. Scared, well, yeah, me anyway. I don't know about Mark. Here come Jay and Jen Herbolt ringing the doorbell that night. "Can we give you a tour of the town?" Yes, I always remember that. And the first day of school, who did we meet? Okay, Ann Herbolt, that's who we met. The darkness can never extinguish the light. Now I can't read the closing note here. My eyes are too watered up. Lastly, in our nation, founded upon God's word and God's principles, we go through very difficult times. We have over our 200 years. We're in a rough stretch now as well. But guess what? The church is strong. I believe it. We don't see about it on the news really hardly ever. But the church in America, there is a strong church, a core of believers. And we need to do our part and stand faithfully and let the light shine. That's why I pray for revival. It's not the government that's going to turn things around. It's hearts that have to be changed by the power of the Spirit of the living God. That's what changes a nation. So that's who Jesus is as we look today. The revealed one. We'll go on to the next one next Sunday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, we are so grateful. How can we ever express our thanks for you and all that you have done for us? Help us to live our lives for you, Jesus. You are In him, in you, was life and is life. And that life is the light of men. And you live in us and you shine through us. And I pray that you shine brightly through our words, through our actions, through the jobs where we work and everywhere else. We give you all of the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is Angels We Have Heard on High, number 278. Let's stand together, please, and we'll sing that. Receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. Let me pray for the children's meal. Katie, are you 2 o'clock okay, or are you as far as the done time? Okay, just want to make sure. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you now for all those working with our children and youth, preparing for their Christmas Eve service. Lord, it takes many adults and helpers to make this happen, and we thank you for every one of them. Let the practice go smoothly today. Father, for the meal that's prepared, bless that to the nourishment and strength of their bodies, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God bless you.